This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show.
Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here along with my sister-in-law, Yuona, and my brother, Mark, on this Thursday, May 14, 2015. And we may even be joined by my wife, Louise, after the break. But today we're going to be talking about more. When you want to have more, when you want to attract more, when what you've been attracting so far is okay, but you want it to be more. I think that's something that's kind of normal and natural. Human beings, we enjoy not just the stuff of life, but the experiences of life. And when we have the good ones, I mean, it's a natural thing, isn't it? We want to have more of the really good experiences because they feel good.
Right.
Definitely.
So why don't we? What's stopping us? Well, in a world full of negativity, I guess it's not too difficult to understand why it is we end up stopping ourselves.
Yeah, it's probably good.
But the tricky part is, despite all that, can we accelerate it? Can we pick things up? And we were talking about this before the show, and we agreed that it can be done, but it can be challenging. I know for myself, particularly up to about a couple of weeks ago, it was so challenging that I was despairing of it. And Mark, yeah, I know you've been through some stuff. Mark, give us a quick overview of some of the stuff you've been dealing with that make you wonder about what does it take to get to the more factor.
Yeah, I've basically kind of I feel like I've slipped a bit and got back into my old habit of I don't know how would you describe that habit of just
the low energy,
low energy, not feeling real excited about the near future, that sort of thing, and not even thinking about the long distance future. And it's easy for me to get caught in that and then stay there indefinitely.
Not the best place to be caught. Not the best place to stay.
Oh, exactly.
It's not a bad place. We're not talking about a space of negativity, are we?
Yeah, it is negativity.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. So it is not such a good space.
Yeah, it's kind of negativity disguised as just normal life, quote unquote, you know. But it's really negativity when I stop and look at it for what it is. You know, it's sort of like my subconscious has been wanting to get back to
the normal
state of, you know, mild unhappiness. And it's got to be mild because otherwise it gets my attention. You know what I mean?
Yes, we'll get him into the negative track just by giving him little bits of it.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what it's like. That's exactly it.
And he will never suspect what's going on.
Yes, right. Uh-oh, bad news. He suspected.
Yes, more like his wife suspected.
Well, that's what wives are for, and husbands too, to say, hey, I'm suspecting something here.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of subtle and gradual, and it, you know, it's like I was saying, it's normal in a bad way, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the usual, and so you get back into that rut quite easily, very subtly, without realizing it. And I mean, you know, you think, okay, that's just the way he is. That's just the way life is, you know.
Yeah, it's the old habit. It's the old programming. Right. And when you have that old programming, it becomes like an old sweater. It feels comfortable.
Yes.
It's very familiar, very, you know, you're used to it, and you know, it's not quite so bad, you know.
Right. It is familiar and it's comfortable. Because, you know, the thing is, on the converse side, the happy place, as great as it feels, it's new and it's different. So that makes it uncomfortable in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, wow, this is different. But, you know, we kind of, we're on this journey together. And so, you know, we both have our stuff that we're dealing with on a daily basis. But, you know, the thing is, we try to, like, start the day off right, you know, do certain exercises, whatever those things are. But you know, when Mark is like sitting next to me and he has that glazed over look in his eyes.
A look that we have all shown at one time or another, I'm sure.
Right. And I like, okay, this is not, you know, because like you said, at first I thought, you know, that's just Mark, just who he is. And he tried to tell me that too, you know, not in so many words.
Yeah, well, we're very good at defending our comfort places.
Exactly.
We're very good at defending them. We'll defend them to the end unless we realize what it is that we're doing.
Yeah.
When I finally realized it, I kind of stepped back in my mind and realized that this has been my norm for literally decades, and that kind of woke me up. It's like, oh, what am I doing? This is not. This is exactly what I want to break out of and stay out of.
Right.
And that was a good realization. But the other thing was, I started looking for something to make me happier again, and you know, trying different things. And at one point, I was browsing the internet, and I stumbled across an Abraham Hicks recording about abundance. And the question that the audience member posed to Abraham was, okay, I've practiced your, you know, what you've preached, and it worked. I was in bad shape financially some year or two ago, and now I'm doing much, much better. I'm out of debt. I'm this, that, and the other.
Right, he was laid off, and now he has a permanent regular job.
That's
and
what
everything.
It was,
yeah.
So his new question was, okay, now I want to go for the big money. How do I do that?
And she interrupted by saying, first, you got to stop thinking of it as big money. Now go on.
Yeah.
Yona has given her thought for the day. She's done.
No, I just love
how
Esther responds to these questions.
Right, yeah. And she said, by the fact that you're calling it big money means that you've got a block there. You're thinking of it as somehow beyond you or unattainable or whatever. And I forgot the words she used exactly, but. So that's the first thing you have to realize, that size is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You've got to think about that big thing as not big, but just something you want. Forget about its size and then just enjoy thinking about what it would feel like.
Right.
That's it.
Because you said manifesting a button and manifesting a castle is the same work.
To the universe, yeah.
Yes.
No different.
You know, it just depends on what you're focusing on.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And it always comes back to... Step one is also the last step, which is feel good.
Right, yes. Right, which is another way of saying get to that vibrational place.
Right,
whatever.
Raise your vibration no matter what it takes.
And all this means that the reason we find certain things to be big and certain things to be not so big in terms of trying to attract them is because we find them to be big or not big in terms of trying to attract them. It has nothing to do with the way it actually plays out. It's just what we found. We decided that was the way it was going to be, so that's the way it is. And, of course, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, the whole conversation was so, you know, very insightful, but very light and funny, as Abraham through Esther always makes it, because he was saying, that he comes to her talks all the time, and he always gets chosen to ask the question. And she says, oh, and she says, like, you know, you come back time after time, and I have the same response, you know, responses,
yeah.
But you're still here.
Yeah, right.
Dedication.
I know. But the thing was that she was trying to get him to see that, you know, the resistance was in him and not in the universe in getting him these things that he wants, because she said, you know, it's already in your vortex. You've already, you know, wished them and wanted them and hoped for them. They're already in the vortex, and they're already at a particular vibrational state. It's just you're getting you into that place and staying there long enough that you actually manifest these things into your reality. And, you know, finally, when she did get him to realize that, he said, she asked him, so why are you here? And then, because he was saying, I have no problems manifesting other things, you know, smaller things, quote unquote. And he realized what the problem was. And she said, why are you here? And then he said, I don't know.
Oh, and one other thing he was doing that we all do is he was starting to slide back and tying his manifestations to the time that he spent toward achieving those manifestations.
Yes.
In other words, equating the work hours to the success.
Yes.
And when you do that, you automatically limit yourself.
Yes, exactly. That was a big thing. He was equating work with size of manifestation. And she reiterated that it's not about the work, it's about the vibration. And she used another metaphor. It's not about the activity or the actions. It's about the thinking and the feeling, basically.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a section from the Richard Bach book, Illusions, in which the character Richard meets a master, Donald Shimoda, who is sort of like a second Christ or something, who's capable of performing all these miracles. Well, he's really just an advanced being who's learned how to implement the law of attraction to his own benefit. And so Donald is trying to teach Richard, at Richard's request, how to make clouds disappear, because that's what Richard wants to be able to do. And so Richard says, well, will you show me? And so Donald says, sure, you know, pick a cloud. And Richard looks up and picks the biggest, blackest, darkest cloud that he can find. And Donald turns to him and says, why do you hate me? And Richard says, well, no, I don't hate you. You know, I'm just trying to pick one that's really hard. And Donald says, fine, okay, which one was it? He looks back and the cloud is gone.
Gone, yep.
Gulp.
Yes.
How did you do that? Well, it has nothing to do with doing. I mean, Bach didn't actually spell that out in the book, but really what we've been talking about here, it has nothing to do with the doing. The only doing is the getting yourself into that vibrational vortex.
Exactly.
Which is a lot of doing in one sense.
Yes.
Because for those of us who aren't really used to doing it on a regular basis, getting there can be quite the challenge.
Yeah, that's where all the work is for us.
That's true. But, you know, Esther ended the talk by giving very specific pointers. She says it's about finding the places in your life now where you vibrate at that level. And she says it's about, you know, loving and kindness and happiness and joy. And she also said it's about, you know, the thoughts that you're thinking. How are they making you feel? Does it make you feel good? Then keep thinking those thoughts. If they don't, stop.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the author of Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh, in The Secret, he has a really good segment in which he says, you know, do what makes you feel good. Does eating a club sandwich make you feel good? Well, then do that.
Right.
You know, if petting your cat feels good, well, do that.
Yes.
Keep doing more and more of the stuff that you really enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's the other thing she was talking about, because when she asked him to define what more money meant to him, and he said, more money is where I can wake up and do whatever I want. And she said that we think that we have to get more money and then we can get to that place of enjoying our lives and feeling good and doing whatever we want.
And she
said,
freedom.
And having that freedom. But she says, we have it in the reverse. We have to wake up and do what we want and feel that freedom first. And then it manifests in terms of the abundance that we want.
And it isn't really the doing what we want.
Right.
It really isn't that. It's feeling it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, which is kind of funny, because if you take that correct first step and start feeling free and feeling like you can do anything, you're already there.
Yes.
You don't even, theoretically then, at this, you know, if what she says is true, you don't even need the money at that point.
Exactly. And I think that's the universe's way of trying to trick us into realizing, okay, you want a lot of money? Okay, feel good. And then you feel good and you're like, oh, I don't really want a lot of money.
Well, or you might, but
yeah, it's just a feeling, and you already have that, you know. But that was what she was saying, because she said, you know, she says this over and over, that you have to feel that in your mind first before you can manifest it. And she says the humans always respond, but I don't want to feel it in my mind. I want to feel it for real. And she says you'll never feel it for real unless you feel it in your mind first,
which is true.
Go there in your mind, yes.
To me, the bigger challenge isn't so much understanding that concept, although that's certainly a major challenge to overcome, and I'm glad that I think I'm pretty much past that particular one. For me, the bigger challenge is sustaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten to the point where I'm getting better at it. I mean, I've had more than my fair challenges lately, more than my fair share of challenges lately, I should say. And I have been able to get through these challenges with minimal friction compared to my past history and feeling oddly rather good during them.
Yeah.
which is a very disconcerting feeling. It's certainly not the norm, and it's certainly not that comfortable sweater zone that we were talking about earlier. But it's obviously a better zone because I'm feeling good despite the craziness going on.
Yes.
So ultimately, that's helping me get into the more sustainable frame of mind. Isn't that the 21st century word, sustainable?
Sustainable.
Yeah, so we're trying to sustain the feeling good, the feel good sustain.
Eco-friendly state of mind.
What the heck with it? Eco-friendly. I just want it to be me friendly. So I try to be friendly in order to be me friendly, you know.
Right, definitely.
But that to me is the big challenge, and the thing that I've noticed is when I do my slipping back, like you were describing, Mark, when I find myself sliding back into that comfort zone again, it's another way of saying I have kind of like lost track of that feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and I know for me, my challenge is actually I was reminded that it's not about so much the things that I do, even if those things are quote unquote the good things.
Right.
You know, and I tend to put a lot of
not that there's anything wrong with doing good things.
Exactly. No. There's nothing, but you can get lulled into thinking that that's the reason for what's happening, and so you get caught up in that, and it's kind of almost as it's kind of similar to getting back into that comfortable feeling, because you go back into that place where you think it's some things that you have to do, something that you do.
It's always a doing thing, right? That's it for us. It's always a doing thing.
I had slipped into that. I was feeling anxious earlier this week, just saying, I got to do something. You know,
right? And that only makes it worse.
It did make it worse. Yeah.
Well, there is one thing that I can say, and that is when I have remembered that the thing to do is to go back to feeling good, that's a good kind of doing.
Yes, that's the good kind of doing.
Right.
That is the good kind of doing.
That's been my goal lately, to remind myself the thing that I have to do is to feel good.
Yes.
The thing I have to do is whatever it takes to feel that positive feeling.
Right.
And that's plenty of doing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of doing in that. It's doing that rewards, it's doing that's hard to sustain at first. There is a certain momentum to it. As time goes on and I get better and better at it, I find that it's easier to maintain the higher feeling levels for longer periods of time.
Yes.
By longer, I mean minutes as opposed to seconds like it used to be.
Okay.
I've gotten to the point now where I'll even go through a large part of the day. You know, I'm working like most people through a large part of the day, just trying to make the living. And I'll think back to the way I went through my day and realize, despite the fact that I wasn't doing something I really enjoy, despite the fact that I was inside when I wanted to be outside, despite the fact that all these things were not quite so good, I still managed to feel good for a large portion of the day. That's a tremendous victory. And that's where the best doing happened.
That's a major accomplishment. Yes, indeed.
And it's a little bit disconcerting because that's not what I was really focusing my attention on. I was focusing my attention on doing the job.
Oh.
On doing the activities.
Right.
Because that's what you have to do. I mean, you know, when you're living paycheck to paycheck or the equivalent thereof, you're doing that, you know. If you've already managed to learn how to attract it all in without having to lift a finger, that's one thing and that's great. But I'm not there yet. So
right.
I do have to do these things just to keep the money coming in so that I can, you know, feed the soul, put the food on the table and that kind of thing. But in the course of that activity, if I can also get myself into the feeling good space, despite the fact that that's not really what I'm primarily focusing on, that's a pretty big victory.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that's part of the normal skill set. You know, you apply for the job. So what are your skills? Well, I'm really good at feeling good while I'm doing this, even though I'm not enjoying it. What? Get out of here. Next.
Oh, man. I know. That reminds me of a story that I saw on the internet. This lady got a job working at a daycare center, and the day before she starts, she posts on the internet on her Facebook page that she's happy to have a new job, but she hates daycare centers. Of course, they rescinded the offer.
Of course, right.
Yeah, but that was not the skill set that they were looking for.
Not quite, no. Well, it's not so much a skill set as a preference set.
Attitude. But yeah, but being able to stay in that place in spite of what activity you might be engaged in, that is definitely an accomplishment.
And there's a part of me that wants to know how I did it. No, I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I mean, yeah, it's kind of silly to say that, but it's not like I've always been able to do that. Well, maybe I have, but it's not like I have a long history of doing that. Let's put it that way. I mean, typically, in the past, I'd be working at the job that I don't really enjoy very much. I'd be getting more and more depressed over time. Now I managed to reverse that somehow, I guess just by focusing a lot on positives as much as I possibly could. And so I've developed this new pattern, and that this new pattern is the new habit. But beyond what I just described, I'm not really sure how I do it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the sum total.
But, you know, Walt, as you said that, it reminded me of something that I often say to myself, that there is a part of us that knows how to do all of this.
Mm.
You know? There is a part of us, there is our, whatever you want to call it, our higher self that knows. And, you know, as they say, when the student is ready, the teacher it will come. And so when we're ready to make these changes and go to those places in our lives, it's as if that part of us either takes over and does it or teaches us how to do it.
If we explain it in terms of the subconscious.
Yes.
The subconscious or the unconscious mind, if you will, we tend to describe it as this sort of id-like creature that has a tendency to throw temper tantrums and to basically march to its own negative drummer, and you're constantly fighting up against that. Mm-hmm. But over time, perhaps what you can end up doing is training it to start doing positive things,
right,
despite itself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that seems to be what's happening. That's the best way I can describe what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a very strange thing. It's kind of like driving the car remotely without having a remote control, but simply by waving your finger.
Yes. Yeah, it's like the hardware is there and it's just waiting for our commands, and we've just been giving it, the negative, destructive commands for so long. And finally we say, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. What I want you to do is to help me feel good even when I'm doing things that I don't want to do. And it says, okay, I can do that.
Right, because I really don't want to crash the car.
Right. It's like, you never asked that before, but are you sure that's what you want me to do?
Yeah, right. Well, this is new.
Exactly. And it's always up to the challenge, I think.
And the other part of it is that when you're getting your subconscious onto this new track and it's been feeding back to you responsiveness that is on this new track long enough, then it starts to feel like it has some momentum. It feels like it has its own sustainability.
Yes.
Or at least at the very least, you've been sustaining it to some degree for some period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens with all the new skills that we learn, you know?
Mm, yep. It's a strange kind of skill, though, because, I mean, in the physical world, when you learn a skill, it's usually something physically oriented, and it's easily repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't describe this necessarily as a skill, but I can reach over, I can pick up a pen, and I can put the pen down, I can pick it up again, and it's not difficult.
Right.
That's really, really, really simple. But the kind of thing we're talking about here is very metaphysical and spiritually oriented and so forth. And it feels like it feels like you're operating in goo. You know, you do this thing and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, there's a reaction. Like, wait a minute, I pulled that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Gooey, slippery, viscous type of environment you're in, so to speak.
Right, and I think, though, that there is a lot of similarity between those GUI tasks and the task of picking up a pen. I know in the field of neurolinguistic programming, they talk about, you know, you can do anything that anybody else has done. If you know, if you can be provided with the instructions, basically, the challenge is knowing what the instructions are.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times there are no written, spoken, you know, clear instructions, because, you know, when people are good at something, it's very difficult for them to explain how they do it. And that's what happens. But if we could go into the minds of these experts and those who are super talented at whatever skill and see exactly what programs they're running to accomplish these tasks, then we can follow those things and do exactly that. The problem is we don't have, we can't see inside of their heads. And they're the worst ones of describing what's happening because
yes,
so far into the subconscious now. But I think just like any other skill, if we could figure out exactly what we're doing while we're doing it, then we can do it again and again and again. So that's the challenge of really trying to kind of break the skill down into some repeatable steps.
It may be a big part of that is simply just coming to believe that it's possible, whatever it is to develop that skill of raising your vibration.
Yes.
And Tony Robbins likes to relate that story of when the 4-minute mile was broken. Up until that point, most people, you know, debated it heatedly, saying, you know, and especially the negative side, it's like, that's just ridiculous. That's just awfully, awfully fast. I don't know if the human body is capable of that.
Right.
And then finally when it was done, what was it, about a month later?
30-something people around the world did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right after Roger Bannister did it.
They just had to see that it's possible, and all of a sudden everybody could do it.
I know. Right. Yeah. He broke that belief barrier, and then that was it. You know?
Which was a major barrier to break through.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I think that's the challenge we face in some of the things we're trying to accomplish, that belief barrier that we can do it.
I shouldn't say that was a major barrier. It was a major overcoming of a barrier.
Yes, right.
Right, right. Maybe the major thing, the major difficulty with raising your vibration is witnessing it in somebody else. Maybe that's hard to do, or you know, maybe that's not easy to see or something.
Yeah, and I think people who do it can't explain it very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have I remember that book that we read about, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. Mm. She gave a lot of anecdotes, but she did not, you know, she was not very good at explaining exactly how it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed it with I'm on the Secrets mailing list, the Rhonda Byrne mailing list,
mm-hmm.
and what she does a lot on that list is to send out anecdotes, stories of particular letters that she received, particularly right after The Secret was released, and stories that people told about how they read The Secret or they watched the movie and followed it up with some sort of wonderful thing that happened,
mm-hmm.
and I began to notice very quickly that the vast majority of the stories were told by people who would insert some little line in the course of telling their story, just as a little side point, and it was always the same side point. I've always been a very positive person.
Ah, yes.
You know? So when it comes to actually explaining what they did, well, they just started behaving positively.
Right.
Well, of course they did. They already have the pattern. All they did was get back into the pattern they know so well. No wonder they can't explain it.
Yeah, that's always the challenge. Yeah, but those who naturally do it, of course it's easy, you know?
Yeah.
And then they say to you, just do it.
Just do it, right. Well, if you don't want to do it, you're going to get yourself into that bad place. I hope you enjoy it there. You know, it's
I know.
Not helpful.
Yeah, help me do it.
Well, all right. I think we're about time to take a break. After the break, let's see if we can divide this little problem up into little tiny steps. Let's see if we can create a step-by-step process that anyone, even a negatively oriented person, can do. Think we can pull that off? I don't know.
Yes.
You think we can?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like that 4-minute mile.
Then you're going to lead us after the break.
Yes.
Okay, this is LOA Today here on PRN. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to LOA Today. Walt, Yuona, and Mark on this Thursday, May 14, 2015, talking about more. How to get more, how to get into that better zone, how to stay in that better zone. And we agreed just before the break that Yuona was going to lead us on that step-by-step out. So, Yuona, I hope you're ready.
Yes, I am.
All right. The mic is yours. Take it.
Okay. So, disclaimer here.
Disclaimer. I love it. Let's start with a disclaimer. This may not work, folks.
No. Not that it's not work. I don't practice all of them. That's what I'm going to say. That is my disclaimer, because if you really want to be a champion vibration raising guru, you have to like avoid negativity, like avoid TV and the internet and the news and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not there yet.
I'm not sure if it's a question of avoiding it or just not being affected by it.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you can do one and not do the other. But yeah.
Most of us at first are affected by it, so the first step is to avoid it.
Yes,
and that's true.
Yeah, and then if you can, you know, gently bring it back a little bit and just kind of test it to see how it affects you, you know, and practice that way, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's step one?
So, well, for me, the first step is to manage my thoughts. And I know that sounds kind of nebulous.
You mean to monitor them?
Monitor or manage my thoughts kind of thing. And in terms of getting in touch with how my thoughts are making me feel. And sometimes I don't even know what I'm thinking, maybe on a subconscious level, but I know how I'm feeling.
So it starts with taking an inventory, so to speak.
Yes, of the predominant thoughts that you're thinking throughout the day, and kind of watch those things. And it helps to have a list of go-to thoughts, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because when in monitoring your thoughts, what you want to do is when you start feeling blah or even sliding down into that not-so-good place, you have to switch to a positive thought. And if you don't have a go-to thought right then, that can be challenging.
Sort of a safe thought.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. And I know that one of the recommendations from that very book we just mentioned is every day kind of choose a thought that you're going to think about. Choose what's going to be. And what she advised, actually, is to choose something about yourself that you like. Like every morning, look in the mirror, find something about yourself that you like, something to compliment yourself about, something that you appreciate about yourself. Even if it's something as minor as the shape of your eyebrows. Use that thought. And when you are challenged throughout the day to go into that negative place, come back to that thought. You know, that should be the safe zone, zone that gets you out of that negative thought. And hopefully onto more positive thoughts that kind of raise your vibration.
I can see for some people how focusing on something about yourself might be a difficult thing to find a safe zone in, because there are so many people who don't feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily a deal breaker. All it means is you just got to find a different kind of safe thought.
Yes.
Safe thoughts can be about anything. All they have to do is be positive and in some way, to some degree, make you feel even a little bit better.
Right.
If they can do that much, then they're safe thoughts.
Exactly. It doesn't necessarily have to be about yourself, but I must say that one of the reasons why it's suggested about yourself is that a lot of times our negative energy comes from subconscious feelings of low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, so that kind of helps, but it doesn't, you know, you're not relegated to thoughts about yourself. You can be thoughts about your partner, about your children, about your cat, whatever makes you feel good, and whatever you can remember quickly and effectively to help you get out of that. You know, it's kind of like, I remember Dr. Anthony, what's his name? I forget his name, but he calls a flip switch, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to find something to flip that switch, so that you can get out of that negative spiral as quickly and effectively as possible.
And if you've been in a negative place for quite some time, it may take a while to find even one
right.
very, very good thought that you can always count on.
Yes.
The thing that I can tell by looking back on my own journey in that regard, because I remember early on with this stuff, I would often be drowning in negativity and just, you know, like a drowning man, you know, flailing around trying to find anything that's even remotely close to dry land. When you're in that kind of a mode, you just grasp onto anything that works. When you're in that place, I found that starting with what is going on that's good around you right now. Like if you're on a day where it's beautiful weather, start with beautiful weather because you can at least count on that for that particular day. Okay. And it may not be a safe thought tomorrow, but it is a safe thought today. So for the rest of the day, no matter what's happening, if you find yourself in that negative spiral, you can look outside and you can say, wow, what a beautiful day is. You know, that beautiful blue sky and it's sunny, just little puffy white clouds and so forth. And now at least I've got the very beginning of a positive thought.
Right.
It may not be a permanent safe thought, but it's at least a starting point. And what does happen is if you rely on good weather stuff over a long enough period of time so that you do have enough good weather experiences, that actually can have a cumulative positive effect to the point where you even when it's raining outside, you can sometimes get yourself to go, you know, into the interior of the building where you don't see the outside weather and kind of remember briefly what it's like to have a sunny blue sky and little puffy white clouds. And right. In doing that, once again, you're practicing and getting yourself a little bit more into that positive zone. That's really what it is for me anyway. Now, you tell me if you think differently, Ioana, but for me, the whole thing about transitioning from the ongoing negative experience into a more and more common positive experience is just constantly trying to reach out and find something, anything to feel good about.
And
even when it doesn't work, just continue doing it. Just find, because eventually you start piecing enough of them together that you start to feel some degree of sustained experience. At least that's what happened for me.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Esther Hicks puts it this way. She said, to find the next highest thought.
Yes.
So it may not be necessarily a positive thought, but if it's less negative than the one you're thinking, then you're moving in the right direction.
It was actually that concept that helped me get through that period of nothing going right, everything feeling negative, and yet insisting on trying to find something positive. Because her explanation of that made me feel like, well, I really don't want to feel, you know, depressed when I'm feeling angry. It's not what I'm going for. But yes. I do see the validity of going for something that feels better than what I'm feeling right now. So I may be that drowning man kind of flailing around, but by God, if I flail around long enough, I'll find something that feels like land.
Grab onto, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you keep kind of lifting yourself basically up out of the hole.
Right, and you
may not come out of it immediately, but if you can get a little closer to the surface every time, then you're making progress, definitely.
That's
and
right.
And I wanted to add, you're talking about the weather and the rain, and it occurred to me that sometimes looking outside and seeing the rain falling is a good thing for me. I like the rain. So
hey, yeah, if you're somebody who loves the rain, who loves the idea of a nice gentle rain,
exactly.
By all means, that becomes a good thought for you. So use it.
Yeah, I have lots of great memories, you know, growing up in the rainforest of rainy days and all that
sure.
kind of.
But, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the basic idea. And, you know, there are other specific things that you can do that can help you. Some of the recommended things are like, you know, find, do something good for someone, give something away, help somebody. I mean, even if it's as we discussed in our show last week about the Ho'oponopono, even if it's just sending a good thought to someone else, it could be a compassionate thought, a thought of forgiveness or of love or of well wish, just kind of taking your mind outside of your problems, outside of your issues, and kind of whether it's praying for someone else or sending them positive, loving energy. That momentarily distracts you from your problem and helps you to kind of raise your vibration. So,
yeah, that's sort of the other side of that first step, isn't it? The idea that every step that you take that even for a very, very short period of time takes you out of your negative funk because you're focusing for just a split second on something else, anything else or anyone else, that alone is a positive step.
Yes.
That alone is getting you one step closer to being out of that funk.
Yeah, and that's the goal because, you know, we've been, you know, conditioned to go into those places and think those thoughts for so long, and it's so ingrained and so much a part of our psyche that it's not going to happen overnight. You know, we're not going to go from there to positive energy state, all, you know, all 24/7. That just doesn't happen. It always is a gradual process. And it's more challenging for some than for others, as you were talking about. There's some people who are naturally just happier and more positive in their approach to life. And for others, that is a challenge. But as we discussed, it's not impossible. Just like we were saying, it's a skill. And like any skill, we can learn it. We have the hardware. It is possible. It is doable. It may take longer for some. It may be more difficult. We may make progress and then fall back, you know, as we've all done that. But you just kind of every day kind of keep going. Like Esther Hicks was reminding the guy asking the question, if all you can do is celebrate the fact that you have this awareness of energy, even if you haven't mastered it and it's not even helping you yet, but you know about it, then that should be something that you can use to kind of help you to get out of the funk and to raise your vibrational energy.
For me, that's almost an advanced step because for the longest time, I never felt the energy.
Mm.
Never, ever, 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 ever. It just, I mean, energy, are you kidding me? Forget that. That's real. That's not real. That's you know, some sort of made up bullet. You know, they're telling you just to get you to do this stuff. Mm. It took a long time before I ever felt any of it.
Right.
You know, so that... I mean, if you're feeling the energy, by all means, use it. If that is actually part of your experience, then, yeah, that's a huge positive. Lean on it. Rely on it. Make that your safe thought because that is a really, really good one. But it may not be part of your experience right away. Don't worry about it. Just keep taking the positive steps. Whatever ones you can possibly take, you will eventually feel it.
Right. Yeah. And just, you know, even if you have never experienced it, but if you have some inclination, a mustard seed of faith that it's possible. Start there, you know, and just be grateful that, okay, you know what? I learned about this energy thing and there is a possibility that it could help me. You know, these people keep talking about how it's helping them.
I don't even think you need to have that much. I mean, if you can have that much imagination, that mustard seed you're talking about, mm-hmm. that's great. That's fantastic. But even if you don't have that, I still think you can get there.
That's true, because a lot of people have come into this without believing that it worked, you know?
Right. Yeah. And in fact, we also know that, and you've talked about this numerous times on the show, we also know that there is a physiological side to all this feeling good stuff, yes. In that if we can get ourselves into that feel good zone for even just, you know, a few seconds,
yeah,
we can actually start feeling a manifestation of it within what was like a 90-second cycle that our body has.
Yeah, and it, you know, and science has proven that there is something going on, that something happens. We do experience benefits from it. So even if it's just that, even if it's just to, you know, lower our blood pressure or to have good neurotransmitters flowing through our bodies for that 90 seconds, then hey, it's worth it.
And one of the things that the three of us were talking about before tonight's show was the impact that positive movies have and how few positive movies there are. But we were recounting to each other, you know, certain feel-good movies that we've all enjoyed. And, that, you know, if you're not in a place where you feel like you can actually get yourself feeling better regularly, find some movie that feels good. Find a piece of music that feels good. If you can think of anything that even has a piece of something that feels good in it, go play that part of it.
I know. It's kind of a little sad that it's the want of good things to make you feel good in our society.
It's amazing how much negativity there is. But if you look for the positive stuff, if you look for the stuff that feels good, you can actually find it.
Yes.
And what feels good for you may not be what feels good for somebody else, you know. That's okay. It doesn't really matter whether or not it feels good for somebody else. What matters is, does it feel good for you?
Yeah, there is stuff that you can find, as the Eminem said about Santa Claus.
That's right.
Do exist. Yeah, and you know, there are some other things that I was trying to Google some things, and they gave some stuff that, you know, we've talked about. And of course, exercise, getting out, doing some physical activity, or even just going outside and sitting in nature. You know, this one article gave some really simple things like drink some water, and, you know, imagine that this water is a life force that, you know, I mean, we take it for granted, but it is, and that in a sense it can help increase your circulation and just kind of help give you a boost of energy. The other thing that's mentioned is to just kind of sit down and focus on your breathing. And there are different types of breathing techniques that you can actually, that are outlined, which you can use to, you know, definitely raise your vibration. We learned one this week, you know, that involved breathing in for 7 breaths, holding for 7, breathe out for 7, hold again for 7, and then kind of repeat that cycle a couple of times.
There's a nice, easy way I know of to accomplish that without having to go crazy doing all that counting,
mm-hmm.
which is to find a favorite piece of music, a relatively calm piece of music, not something that's, you know, rocking or something that's, you know, really boisterous or whatever, but something that is a slower and calmer mm-hmm. piece of music, and just play that. And virtually everybody has some sense of how the timing of music works. Breathe to the music.
Yes.
It's one of the things that I noticed with the Abraham Hicks meditation tapes or recordings, if you will, because all of them, they use all the same, this one same piece of music. It's almost like a music box music that they're playing, but it's a very calmly paced piece of music, and it's also got a weird beat to it. It's got a seven beat measure instead of an 8-beat measure, but it's timed perfectly so that the first 3 beats are for an in-breath and the last 4 beats are for an out-breath.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's one of techniques that I'm familiar with, yes.
So just find a piece of music that fits your normal breathing when you're in a relatively calm breathing state, not agitated, not where you're walking around, but where you're sitting down and just breathing deeply. Find some music that is approximately the same pace as your breathing, and then just use that. That mm-hmm. way you don't have to count. That way you don't have to make an effort out of it. You just breathe to the music.
Yeah, that sounds really great.
And there's lots of music that can do that, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, those are some of the things. You know, they also recommend things like, you know, going to your favorite place, whether that's a place in your house or somewhere else. One of the articles recommends setting up a vibrational feel-good zone in your house, like dedicate a certain corner of your living room where you have your favorite chair and your favorite lighting or whatever it is, and kind of maybe even music to, you know, as a place that you can go to whenever you feel like you need to raise your energy, kind of thing. Or you can just go get a hug from your husband.
That's good. Another thing that I found to be really helpful, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about it, but look around your house for textures that feel good, that when you touch them.
That's, yeah.
It can be, you know, a pillow, or it could be a blanket, or you know, a throw, or material on a couch, or you know, it can be just, you know, stuff in the kitchen. It could be foods. It could be almost anything. But if you have some cashmere, if you've got any kind of material that has a nice softness to it, touch stuff, stroke it, you know, take the sweater, take the jacket, take the blanket, the pillow, whatever it is, and just stroke it and feel the gentleness and the thrill of, you know, that nice soft touch. That alone can make you feel good.
Yeah. Cause there are a lot of people who's, you know, they're very much connected to their sense of touch. And mm-hmm. so
I'm one of them.
Oh, okay. That reminded me then that there are people who have their other senses are more important to them. So, you know, some people use aromatherapy to help them feel. Or what we talked about, the music with the audio, but also the visual, you know. We talked about the movie, but, you know, you can also go to that place in your mind. You can close your eyes and kind of visualize your perfect scenery and go there in your mind and enjoy that place for however long you feel you need to.
You can also do it with tastes, with flavors.
Yes.
For somebody who is fighting a weight problem, I can see where that might be a little bit challenging. But if they're willing to be a little bit disciplined about it, you can actually still get the pleasure out of the flavors by making yourself eat it slower.
Yes.
That... When you eat slower, you actually give yourself the opportunity to taste more.
I know. We don't taste our food enough.
And imagine what would happen if we did. Because yeah. Now we're basically killing two birds with one stone, to use the old parable, right? You're on the one hand, you're not overeating anymore. And on right. The other hand, you're enjoying it more.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. That is one of the ways that you can enjoy your food and lose weight at the same time.
Instead of gulping it down, chew each bite and just chew it like you're drinking a fine wine.
Yeah, in fact, two things I want to say about that. I came across this practice several years ago by this doctor who advocated chewing as a way of weight loss. And he actually promoted chewing your food some 30-something, 40 times, each mouthful, each bite. And I did try that for a while. You know, it's hard to break the habit of eating so fast. But I did try it, and it was amazing. I tasted stuff I'd never tasted before. Mm-hmm. And that I had always eaten. It was an absolutely amazing experience. And I was like, oh my goodness. And the other thing was I did that because I when I do chew my food carefully, I have much less digestive issues. So,
oh, sure. Yeah.
That's the way
me
around.
There's a direct correlation there, no doubt about it. I can confirm it from my own experience.
Yes. You know, but it's similar to when we're trying to practice feeling good. You know, you do it for a while, and before you know it, you're back to your old pattern again. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, what does it take to break those lifelong habits?
And yet I think we now know what the answer is, because we've been outlining the steps, and the steps are to take little steps that feel good.
Yes.
That is precisely how we break those lifelong habits. That's how we change the experience. And by doing it often enough, or even if it's not terribly often at first, but by just being persistent about it.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you just keep coming back and coming back determinedly, doggedly. Eventually, you do it enough, just over a period of time, you've done it enough that it starts to have a cumulative effect.
Yeah.
And that cumulative effect is how we break the old pattern, because now we have a new pattern to replace it with.
Right. And it just occurred to me that, you know, it's very important when you're trying to make those changes to have an accountability partner. And, you know, we have that, Mark and I and our spouse in each other, and you and Louise. But hopefully we also have that in this in the show that we do from week to week, you know, for each other. And maybe some of the listeners, you know, this can be a weekly reminder of the things, the new habits that we're trying to install in our lives. Because now it's reminded me that I need to go back to chewing my food more carefully.
Well, then our job is done. We have done our task for the week. We've reminded you to chew your food.
Yes.
No, but it's true. I mean, we've talked about this before, but... just doing the show is a feel-good activity.
Yes, definitely. It is a feel-good.
And hopefully for our listeners, listening is also a feel-good activity. I mean, we do have listeners. I know that. I've seen the records. You've seen it too. So they're listening for something. Hopefully they're enjoying it. Hopefully they're feeling good from it. That, you know, because, hey, that makes it worthwhile for everybody involved here.
Yep, definitely.
Hey, before we finish up for this week, we were talking earlier about safe thoughts and safety places to be when you're struggling and you need to find some way to get into that positive zone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about sharing what our favorite safe thoughts are?
Okay.
I'll start with one. One of my favorite safe thoughts, especially if I'm kind of, you know, I'm in that drowning mode and I'm flailing around, is I'll go find one of the cats, because we have two black cats.
Mm-hmm.
And just They're constantly looking for attention anyway, so hey, there's a good opportunity to give it to them. You know, just pet the cats for a bit, play with them for a little bit. It invariably gets me in a good mood, you know, or at least in a better mood. It may not get me into a good mood, but I feel better than I was feeling before.
And that's the key.
That's the key.
That is the key.
Yep.
Because from there, you can go you know, to the next higher thought, next higher vibrational.
And the nice thing is when you find something that is significantly better than where you were feeling just even a moment ago, mm-hmm. you can actually accelerate.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's actually harder to accelerate when you go to something that's just slightly better. But when you go to something that's dramatically better, it becomes that much easier to go to something that's dramatically better beyond that within a very short period of time. It's almost like we have this association that says, well, if I just took a big leap, I can take another big leap.
Right. That's how the mind works.
Yep. So there's one of mine. Mark, do you have a safe thought that you go to?
I'm not
Or maybe a safe practice, something that, you know, you got to have some quick way to give yourself a dose of feel good. What do you do?
Well, one thing I did today is I just went to the kitchen and grabbed something, a treat, just to kind of pick me up a bit. And that helped a lot.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And we you know, we've touched on it, but we need to talk about that because there is a physiological component to that low energy. It's not just an expression, but sometimes when we are feeling down, it could be that either we don't, you know, our blood sugar is low, or it could be some nutritional deficiency that's happening. So, yeah, that's a whole nother show of it on its own.
But Mark, I got to ask you, did you chew your food slowly?
I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention.
Uh-oh, got to chew that food slower. Then you'd remember it more.
Yeah, he doesn't chew very carefully anyways, but... But we did try that for a couple of days, yeah. For some time.
I remember doing that with you a year or so ago.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to do that again.
I know. We need to do that again. But, you know, I cheat. My go-to practice for raising my vibration is to go to Mark.
No sucking someone else's energy.
No, I don't suck. He gives the best hugs, and I swear.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
Every time he just kind of, and I, you know, yeah, it works.
Yeah, hugs are always good, no matter what. Those are good.
He just gives the best hugs ever. But
yeah, I was pretty sure though you had at least one other that I knew about, because if I remember correctly, you run.
Yes, I do run, you know, and that's one of those big leaps that like gets me, whoa, you know, in the vortex. Whoa, I'm like going. Unfortunately, I don't run every day, so I have to have something that's more immediate. And I've been trying to think about things that I like about myself. You know, it was funny when I first started this, I tried to think about something and I couldn't think about anything that I liked about myself.
I know the feeling. It's like you draw this blank, like there's got to be something.
I know.
There's got to be something. Come on, there's got to be something.
Exactly. And it was Mark who reminded me that, you know, I'm outgoing and a people person. It wasn't quite what I was hoping for, but it worked. I was hoping something about my physical appearance. That's a whole nother story.
One step at a time. That's the lesson that we've learned today. You want to get to the more, it's one step at a time.
Yes, indeed. That's what we're learning.
Well, that about wraps it up. We've actually used up our time for the week. But thank you for bringing more to us, the two of you.
Yes.
Because more is actually more. More is not less. More is more.
More is more.
And with that in mind, we're going to invite you back for more next week here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. It might seem